Thank you, Ben. John chapter number one. We're going to be in John chapter number one tonight, and I'm going to say the words that every person who's been in church for a long time dreads to hear, and those words are, I'm not going to preach very long, because you know that usually means I'm going to be long, so I'm not going to say it, but no, I do intend to be brief tonight, and I'll use the word brief because that's open-ended, and it's relative, but I do want to be mindful of the time. There's a big week of camp. A lot of people are involved in that, and I know that we're coming to an end of a busy period as well, and so I want to get a thought across, and we've already really seen preaching, haven't we, with the 12 stones and in that testimony and the thinking of how important it is to always be preparing ourselves, how important it is if we're ensnared by something, don't just concede to it. The same salvation that overcame our sins and paid our sin debt is the same salvation. We find the grace and the strength and the help to get over things in our life. But I want to kind of just remind us of some important truths, and I want to keep us as a church focused on that which is important. I hate to say this, but I'm afraid that it's true. There's more and more churches that are getting less and less involved in ministering to broken people, ministering to hurting people. And you say, well, they don't have any way to help them. And sometimes it's just too much work. And sometimes they're not looking for them. One thing about people is they have problems. I look around in this auditorium tonight, and there's a lot of potential here. But with that potential, there's a lot of problems. Y'all are a bunch of problem people. I just want y'all to know that. We all have problems. We have a responsibility as a church, and the 12 stones, part of my vision is not just for us to have it for our church, but I want to have 12 stones meetings all over Jacksonville. And I believe the ministry today is to help hurting people, help people who are looking for the answers. And we as the church, we have the answer, don't we? In the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And so we ought to be the most active. And I don't care what programs the city of Jacksonville puts out. I really do not. Because whatever programs they put out is not the answer. The local church is the answer. The program of Christ is the answer. And so that's something that I want you to pray about getting involved. I'll make certain references to it during my message tonight. But John chapter number 1, I want to begin reading with verse number 40. And I'm just going to read a few verses tonight. John chapter 1, we'll look at verse 40, verse 41, and verse 42. And to lay the foundation this evening. Look at verse 40 of John chapter 1. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, we do know that these two disciples who are called out, they follow Christ. We have first Andrew, who, verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon. Well, I think one of the secrets of us getting back, when I say us, Bible believers, getting back to building great churches, great Sunday schools, is finding first our brother. Yeah. It's finding first those closest to us. There are hurting people all around us. There are needy people all around us. That's why I love the idea, love what we're doing with our neighborhood Bible studies, our Sunday school classes, and a vision to get more and more of those started. And pray about that. May God give you a desire and a vision to start one in your neighborhood. Why? Because there's people all around us. Tonight I want to use this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to be very simple tonight. I'm not going to say anything profound or new, just as a reminder to us. But I want to preach tonight on the church's responsibility to the broken. The church's responsibility to the broken. And our responsibility, very simply, is to bring people to Jesus. And there's different ways of doing that. There are people who are members of our church now, and they first came to a Bible study. Long before they met the pastor, there was somebody who cared and said, hey, come to this Bible study. and come to the Sunday school class and learn the Word of God and meet some people and get the help that you need. And we have the church, we have a responsibility to reach the broken. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you tonight grateful for what you've already done, grateful for what we've already seen. Now may we use the Word of God tonight to be a help to us. We ask your hand of blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at this passage of Scripture and we reflect on what has already been done. Those that just a few moments ago finished some portion of the 12 Stones program, there was that many people who said they were willing, there's some area that I can get help in. There's some area that I can continue to be discipled in the Word of God. And they committed themselves. You saw some with perfect attendance. If I had been in the 12 Stones, I probably would have got perfect attendance every year at the award ceremonies at the end of school year. I look at all those nerds that would go up there and get that a perfect attendance award each and every year. Are there any out there tonight? Okay, some of you, I'm sitting there thinking, you have perfect opportunities to skip school. I mean, do you know the joy of skipping school? Don't you get a tummy ache just once in a while and say, I need to say, are y'all awake out there tonight? Am I the only one that ever did that? Anyway, I'm off track tonight. The point is you have to make a commitment. There is no doubt in my mind if you make a commitment to be in Sunday school, be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, you will grow as a Christian. You are going to get the Bible. You are going to learn things that you otherwise would not have learned. You say, well, I can read the Bible on my own. Yeah, if you read on your own, you'd know you'd need to be here in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and midweek Bible study. You can read it on your own. You can study on your own, but it's a fact that you will get what you need, but you have to make a commitment to it. As we think of this, and it's an accomplishment, and it's exciting as a church, we see these things. We have to be... My mindset tonight is certainly an applause and a congratulations on that commitment. It excites me as a pastor to know that I had that many people take an extra day in the week and spend some time in the Word of God. Now, Brother Bassler's tough. He gives you homework, and he gives you assignments during the week. So in actuality, you're not just committing to that 1 or 2 hours. You're committing to a thought process throughout the week. As a pastor, that excites me. I believe that our church was strengthened. We've been talking about spiritual health on Thursday night and how does a church become healthy? Well, the members got to become healthy. And if I've got that many members becoming spiritually healthier, our church just got healthier. That excites me as a pastor. But the way that your pastor thinks and the pastor is wired, my next immediate process goes to, where's the next 40? And then after that, where's the next 40? And where's the next 40? You say, well, pastor, there's people here that could be part of that 40. Absolutely. But I want us tonight to be mindful that we have to be thinking outside of those who are part of our church now. There are those out there that need to be ministered to. The church in general is very good. Churches are very good at once people come in the doors of ministering to them. But if we study the Word of God and we study the ministry of Christ and what He's commanded the church to do, we're to go out there and find them. We're to go to the highways and the hedges. We're to go to the marketplace. And quite frankly, one reason why our system, in my opinion, And that's just my opinion. I'm not saying my opinion is right, but I'm definitely not saying my opinion is wrong. You'll get that in just a moment. One reason our society has changed is because the church left the highways and hedges. And if we get back to the highways and hedges, then we can capture, if you will, the marketplace once again. So we have to have that mindset of there's somebody out there that is broken or is struggling, and we have the answer. You say, Pastor, they just won't come to church. Well, keep asking them, but ask them if they'll come to a 12 Stones. Keep asking them, ask them if they'll come to a Night of Hope. Ask them if they'll come to a Bible study. See, Andrew, the disciple Andrew, his greatest accomplishment was not preaching. Don't miss this. Andrew did not preach Pentecost. Andrew was not preaching
when 3,000 people got saved. But in our Bible, it tells us that he first found his brother. Who was his brother? Simon Peter. Who preached Pentecost? Simon Peter. Andrew is not known for a message he preached. But Andrew is known as the one who found his brother first. And not only did God use Andrew, God used his brother in a great way. And there's a good lesson there tonight. You may say, well, God's not called me to preach, and in the future, God's going to have to raise up the next preacher. Well, why aren't we looking for him? What about these missionaries meeting? Why aren't we looking? What about Sunday school teachers? Well, Pastor, we're fresh out of Sunday school teachers. No, we're not. I'm just waiting on some of you to step forward, but we're not. Say, well, what are we going to do? Go find one. What do you mean? There's somebody that's broken right now that somebody in here knows. They work two cubicles over from you, or you make a conversation with them when in that place of business you do all the time, or they're your neighbor, or they're your family member, and if you could get them to where they can get the help that they need to get saved if they're not saved, to get victory in their life that they need, to get that spiritual discipline so they can start growing. But Andrew had to care enough to find the person and bring them to Jesus. Do you realize that the greatest thing that most Christians will ever do is find a hurting person and get them to the one that can help them? Yeah, you see these news stories once in a while. You see a positive news story of what they call a good Samaritan. Somebody was in trouble and somebody went out of their way and checked on them and got them to the hospital. You've seen those types of stories. I wonder where they got good Samaritan from. You know, get the Bible out of our public square. The good Samaritan stopped and, anyway. I've lost my train of thought at how stupid our society is, but anyway. You've seen those stories, and they're wonderful. I'm not saying Pastor was preaching against being a good Samaritan. No, I'm not. But how much more of a good Samaritan is it to see somebody struggling in life and say, I know what you need. Well, what do I need? I got to take you to a place where you can get help. Well, it might challenge my thinking. Yeah, it's probably going to do that. God's Word tends to do that. God's Word is going to challenge that. But we have to have this mindset. So when we go out into our world this week, let's be mindful of those around. Let me give you some points to think about tonight. Number one, let me just remind all of us, somebody brought you. Andrew brought Peter. Philip brought Nathaniel. The woman at the well brought her city. The friends brought the paralyzed man. Every person who comes to Christ, more or less, has somebody who cared enough to bring them. If you're a second or third generation Christian, there's many of you grew up in Sunday school. You grew up in this church. Somebody brought you as a child. If your mother and father or whoever brought you failed in every area of their life, and there's not one father or mother who's failed in all those areas, but if they failed in every area of life, the fact that they brought you to church where you could hear the gospel, where you could get saved, where you could grow in the Lord, you could discover that God created you in His image. He has something for you to do. Somebody brought you. You remember that person that invited you? That person who knocked on your door? That person who gave you a ride? The person, when you came, you thought, well, this church is going to be just like every other church. And you didn't know what to think because, you know, over the last however many years, you either came to a building that doesn't look like a church or you came to a tent before that. But somebody cared. There was somebody who reached out to you. There was somebody who was a friend. Somebody brought you. And can I remind us the greatest mistake we make as church members? We come and I'm thankful for what God does for us. God helps us each and every service, doesn't He? We get something from the Word of God. I'm thankful that God would, as I prepare, God gives us what we need. He's always faithful to do that. I'm thankful that that is a priority, that we get something. But let's be honest, that we should enjoy that. We should receive what God has for us. But there's more to it than that. And if we're not careful, we'll make that mistake of forgetting that while we're growing in here, that there's people out there that need what we have. Might I remind us, I get excited about anytime somebody gets saved, but the Great Commission is just not about salvation. Obviously, salvation is the most important, but we want people to grow. We want people to get help. When we started the Night of Hopes and then the 12 Stones, and I made a statement a couple of times, if you might recall, well, what if they never come to our church? Or what if they never get all the way in? Hey, one person who doesn't turn to alcohol and saves their and their family saved, I think it helps our society, doesn't it? One person who is struggling with grief and doesn't know how to deal with that, who doesn't go and take their own life, I think that benefits us, doesn't it? I think God would be pleased with that. And don't get me wrong. I want every seat filled. I want the problem of, Pastor, where do we put all these people? I checked the Sunday school class attendance to see who is doing what. But don't get me wrong. It's not just about who is in our Sunday school class. It's not just about who is in our church. It's who do we affect out there as well. Somebody brought you. You know, there's other people out there that need discipleship as well. They need recovery. They need restoration. They need friendship. Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. You seem a little tired tonight. Everybody okay? I want you to think for a moment. How many friends would you have if you didn't have the church? Real friends. Not acquaintances. How many real friends would you really have? Well, the people I work with, you get a different job, how long does it take for them to not be in touch anymore? By the time you get out the door? Well, my neighbors, and we're close. That neighbor that's moved, when's the last time you talked to them? How many friends would you have if you didn't have the church? My point is, thank God for the church. Because, you know, let me just say, some of you wouldn't have any, and we're only your friend because we're commanded to be. I mean, let's just throw that out there. So, you say, who are you talking about? You know, I can figure that out. That's a little bit of all of us. But think about that for a moment. Thank God for the church, but think about how lonely this world is. How lonely people are. How they long for somebody to care. They long for the answer. The people in this world, they're not dumb. They can try everything in this world, but they know the answers the world offers are not real answers. As a matter of fact, this is a little off track tonight, but there's never been a time that I can recall, certainly not in my lifetime, and as I read and study history, I don't know if there's ever been a time in our nation's history where there's as much distrust for the narrative in the mainstream. People don't trust their government. They don't trust education. They don't trust the medical field. What an opportunity for God's church. The things that our nation has been dependent on and has blindly followed, now that's being questioned, and instead of exchanging, if I can say this, conspiracy theories, maybe we ought to walk out there with the Word of God and say, hey, let me tell you why all this is happening, because Jesus is coming back. And He will be the friend that'll never leave you. Let me make statement number two. The harvest is everywhere. We'll not turn there because of time, but Matthew 9:37 reminds us the harvest truly is plenteous. There are people everywhere. Say, Pastor, where do we get another 40? Well, look around. There's a million people in Jacksonville. It's everywhere. The harvest is in our neighborhoods. The harvest is in our workplaces. It's in our extended families. See, the devil has convinced us as Christians many times that all the problems are outside there and all the problems are everybody else's problems. But can I remind us that everybody knows somebody? Everybody knows a son, a daughter, a brother, a coworker, a neighbor, a friend. See, the problem is not the fact that we can't find the harvest. The harvest is already around us. The problem is not there are too few hurting people to help. You know, a person full of pride is hard to help. And when I say hard to help, they're impossible to help. You will find people in this world, you'll find people in our neighborhoods, our community that are full of pride. They don't need God. They don't need church. They don't need anybody. They're full of pride. You can't help them. But there's enough hurting people around us. So, Pastor, when you encounter one of those people full of pride, what do? I just move on. Because there's somebody right around the corner who is broken, is hurting. You know, I'm not going to debate. Why? Because there's too many hurting people who want to hear what I have to say. The harvest is all around us. As that passage of Scripture reminds us, is the harvest isn't the problem, it's the laborers that are the few. And can I just say, that's not just talking about pastors, it's not just talking about preachers, but we need more pastors. We need more preachers, certainly we do. What we need is more laborers. I know a lot of preachers that don't labor. We need more laborers. I mean, don't you know, we don't only work on Sunday, so I mean, it's, you know, just, we don't have any laborers. But you know what the laborers are? We're all to be laborers. You have to decide as a child of God, are you willing to labor for Him and His harvest? We're commanded to. Oh, I achieved this, and I checked this box, and I get this goal, and I hit this standard. Well, praise the Lord. You are, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. I believe that. And if you're in a career, right, do the best you can. Do the most that you can. But don't forget you're part of God's church as well, aren't you? And so we're to be laborers for Him and labor. How do we labor? I would say, Pastor, is there a work day? Is that laboring? Yes, that's laboring, but that's not the kind of labor that's being talked about. You know, if you're going to labor, work with people. Invest in people. Work with broken people. Number three, compassion is what must move us. A great story that's recorded in Scripture for us is found in Mark chapter number 2. It's the four men carrying the lame man who couldn't get to Jesus. We'll not take time to turn there, but that story reminds us that there were four men who took Him to the house. They couldn't get in the house because Jesus was in there and the crowd was so great. So they took Him up on the roof and they broke open the roof and they let Him in. Now, the great thing about that story is they didn't have to pull Him back up to get out. That after Jesus healed him, He got up and He walked out the door. And if you study that story out, there was a lot of praising and rejoicing, including the people who brought Him. You see, those men did not see the end of the story. They had faith in who Christ was. They did not know what Jesus was going to do, but they knew if they did not get Him to Jesus, Jesus was not going to perform the miracle. So what they had to do is we have to at least get Him to Jesus. And friend, you ought to love your church. And if you would just permit me for a moment, you ought to think your church is the greatest church. And let me just say, I'm a little partial. I think the Emmanuel Baptist Church is the best church in the area. Pastor, does that mean there's not other good churches? I didn't say that. There are other good churches. But I believe this is the best church. I think we got the best choir. I think we got the best orchestra. I mean, you ought to think the pastor is the best pastor. I mean, he is, but what's the problem, you know? You amen for the choir, you didn't amen for the pastor. I'm going to add 3 more points to my sermon tonight. You ought to think your pastor is the best pastor. Okay, I'll take a point off. Why is that? Because this is what God has given us. You ought to love your church. You ought to love what God does. And you ought to be able to, the mindset, you know, if I can just get people in church, it'll help. It will, but don't make a mistake. It's not the pastor's personality. It's not the professionalism of our music program. It's not the policies and procedures of our children's ministry. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that people find when they come to the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Now, all that can be, God can use and does use, but we just have to be moved with compassion. I've got to get somebody to Jesus. And I'm afraid, we know this is true, But in our minds, we get it. We conflate it sometimes as I can't help them, and what can I do? And I can only do so much, and I don't even know what to say. The Bible does not tell us in Mark chapter number 2 that those four men were Bible scholars, Bible college graduates. They were just men moved with compassion that saw a lame man. The Bible doesn't even tell us they knew him. They just said, let's get him to Jesus. And they didn't just get to the door and say, it's full. They said, let's get him up on the roof. Let's break in the roof. This man needs to get to Jesus. Can you imagine what would happen in Jacksonville, Florida, if God's people, when they encountered somebody in their everyday life that was lame spiritually, they needed help, they were broken, and they said, we have got to get him to Jesus. But how quick do we take that first opposition, that first excuse, that first I can't make it, and we say, well, I tried. But there ought to be something inside of us. You say, well, they got to put some effort in. Yes, but they don't know what we know. They haven't seen what we've seen. That compassion must move us. Ministries like 12 Stones is not for specialists. It's not just for the pastor and staff. It's for you. Not just for you to be a part of, but for you to take it, but for you to get people into it. This ministry never reaches its potential unless it becomes a ministry of the entire church. Don't miss this church. This, I believe that God could use this to revolutionize our city. I really believe this. Is if this church captured the opportunity that we have and cared for broken people, and with the 12 stones, the Knights of Hope, we've got to get people in that and have that compassion because we know what it will do. They didn't just say, hey, we'll pray for you. They did not, and we all do this, I've done this. They did not just say, here's a tract from our church with the times there, if you can get there. Here's a lame man. Jesus. Here you go. Jesus is located here. If you can find a way, just walk down there. He's lame. Well, I told that non-churchgoer where church was. And sometimes that's all you can do. That's better than nothing. I'm not minimizing that. But in our personal relationships, sometimes it takes more for somebody who doesn't go to church than just a simple invitation to get them into church. Because non-churchgoers, they've got a lot of things in their head they think about churches. You know, they've maybe seen some things that doesn't add up to them. There are some crazy beliefs out there. You do understand that. They say, well, there's hypocrites at church. Unfortunately, there are. And sometimes there's prideful people there. And somebody who doesn't go, let's be honest, they know they need to be in church. They know they need the Lord. And sometimes it takes somebody with a little compassion to go the extra mile. What can I do to get you there? Number 4. May I remind us, we're not just filling seats. We're not just filling seats. This morning, summertime, Spanish was out, children were out. We had a great crowd in here. I want every seat full. So what are we going to do when we fill up every seat? Until we can build, we're going to fill up every seat, and then we'll do it all over again in the next hour. You say, do you have experience with that? Oh, you must be new. But we're not just filling chairs. Every Sunday school teacher ought to look at those empty seats in their Sunday school class and say, I want that full. I want it full. But it's not full just because a chair can be full. We're trying to rescue people. I'm not trying to fill chairs as much or fill a building as much as I'm trying to help fill heaven. We're not just trying to increase our statistics. We're trying to help change families. See, one transformed life, don't miss this. And this is why it's so important. for every man in here, every lady in here. That's why this 12 Stones program is important. Because we look at one individual, and you may minimize what you just did by going through that. But one person impacts generations in their family. Generations. You don't get victory, it's going to set a domino effect in those generations. But if you get victory, if you do what needs to be done, or we reach somebody else, and it changes the whole trajectory, well, it impacts generations. See, we're fighting for sons and daughters. We're fighting for families. We're fighting for eternity. We're not just filling seats. Then I leave us with this challenge for point number five, if you want to call it a number five. It's a question. What if every member brought one? What if every member identified one person that they come across in their daily life? I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Just one. You know, you won't have to look far to find somebody with a need, with a burden. And I'm convinced of this. If you look for it, you'll find it. But what I'm convinced of is you won't have to look very hard to find somebody that, if you'll care, will let you care for them. Will let you show them some kindness. What if we found one hurting person? This is a messed up world, isn't it? I don't want to live my ministry. I don't want to live my days as a Christian on my soapbox, so to speak, just talking about how messed up the world is. I mean, I think people are on to that now. The world's messed up. But what I would like to do with the life that God has given me is trying to help one person that's hurting, to try and help one home that's struggling, to try and help that one prodigal that's away from the Lord, that broken life. I mean, what if every Sunday school class tonight said, we're gonna find that next one, and we as a class are going to help somebody get to the 12 stones or get victory over these things? What if every person who just received a certificate came back and enrolled again, but this time determined they're not going to enroll by themselves, they're going to bring somebody with them? I know if somebody's already thinking, well, Pastor, I don't know if 80 will fit. We'll figure that out. But what if everybody said that I'm going to find one to bring in there? What if every deacon found one? What if every staff member found one? What if every family found one? And it might be 12 stones. It might be Sunday school class. It might be Sunday morning service to hear them mercy. I mean, right now as a church, we've got a great hook, if I can use that term, a great invitation on the subject of mercy each and every Sunday morning. Boy, this world needs to hear that God loves them. God has bestowed His mercy on him. No matter how far away from them that they feel, He will take them back. We don't need, I believe, in first-class materials, first-class presentation. But truth of the matter is, God did not design His plan to need that. That's not the pattern. You can build a church without a website. We have one. We have a nice one. You can build a Sunday school class without first-class materials. They help. I'm not preaching against that tonight. We have them. But you know the best way to reach people? Is the same way that we read of in this passage of Scripture. Same way Andrew did it. Let me find my brother. Hey, let me tell you what I heard. I heard this one that John has been preaching about. He's here. He's the Christ. They say, well, this world is so jaded right now. Didn't you hear me say a moment ago that this world is questioning everything? They're questioning everything. What an opportunity to say, hey, have you thought of Jesus? Have you thought of Him? He's never lied to you. But what if everybody brought one? I challenge us tonight, who's on your radar? Who's on your list that you're praying for? So I don't have one, Pastor. I'm going to challenge you tonight to have one. Boy, as His church, His eyes, His ears, His hands, we're an extension of our Savior. We ought to be looking for those individuals. We ought to be trying to find that hurting one. What's been said in different ways, but something to the degree of, those that are in the ministry of helping hurting people will never lack for an audience. Never lack. Those of you that feel called to full-time ministry, called to preach, can I tell you, there's plenty of places to preach. There's plenty of opportunities to serve. There's plenty of things to be done where people will help, where people will let somebody care for them. So tonight, my message is very simple. It's just a reminder for us that we have a responsibility to get the hurting to Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I'm one of the hurting. Aren't you glad you have Jesus? Imagine the weight if you didn't have Him. Imagine, some of you hasn't been so far removed that you can think about what it was to not have that relationship with Him, to not be in fellowship with Him, to not have the support of this church. Aren't you thankful for a supportive church that prays for you, that loves you, that believes in you, that forgives? Aren't you grateful for that? I am. You got to remember, those people that you'll work with this week, they don't have that. Well, how heavy to not have Christ. You know, instead of just, well, that's too bad, I'm thankful. And this is a good challenge for the element in this church, that you grew up in this. Let me remind you, you don't know how bad it is out there because you've never experienced it. You've never, if you're not careful, you'll flirt with that out there. And you'll discover real fast that this world is much worse than you think it is. Well, the preacher, he's been preaching about it. He's just being sensational. It's 100 times worse than I could ever illustrate from behind this pulpit. It's 100 times worse. But at the same token, it's hard when this is all you've known to truly get a sense of how broken people are out there. But if you look for it, you have that mindset, who can I help? Who can I get to Christ? Well, you think of that, the story of that woman at the well in John chapter 5. Been married all those times, living with somebody that's not her husband. But Jesus went out of His way to reach her. His disciples are like, Lord, we got to go. This is the part of town we don't want to be in. We got to go. He says, I must needs go to Samaria. Why? Because there was a broken woman that Christ knew her heart was tender because she was broken. And when He revealed Himself to her, she didn't just believe. She went back and brought the whole city. The whole city. You know, this isn't our motive, but that one person that's broken, oh, God would never do anything with them. They might bring their family with them. They might know somebody else who's broken. They might know somebody else who has those needs. We you know, there's people out there that need help, and we have to be looking for them. So tonight, as we go to the invitation, let's be thankful for what God's done for us. And may we turn our eyes to people who have those needs. And let's not get so satisfied with what God is doing for us that we don't lose sight of what we're commanded to do in this world. Go to the highways. Go to the hedges. Let's reach people. Let's be aware of people. Look for one. Look for that one that you can bring with you. There's somebody out there. You invite people and they tell you no. That ever happened to anybody? They either go somewhere else or they're not interested. No matter how many times you ask them, they're not. I'm not looking for the no's. I'm looking for the yes. But sometimes you got to get the no's to get to the yes. But if you find that broken person, let's be mindful of that. Let's not get tired of these ministries that reach out to people. And I don't sense this mindset now, but it's been here in the past. Well, Pastor, what good is that doing us now? How is that helping us? God never establishes church to just help us. In fact, he says, my church exists to help those out there. Go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. We're to help other people. And so let's remember that tonight.